It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. A biologist is studying how some insects might be adapting to a changing climate. Scott Hotaling is studying stoneflies that live in glacier meltwater and how they might be evolving. That story's coming up on West Virginia Morning. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Nearly $2 million in federal grants will help one West Virginia city combat a drug abuse epidemic. Roxy Todd reports.
The city of Huntington says in a news release that two grants will be used for a program that assists overdose victims within 72 hours. The Quick Response Team, or QRT, involves law enforcement, providers of health care, recovery and treatment, and university researchers. Among other things, the team will assess the symptoms and needs of individuals in determining an intervention plan. The QRT program was awarded a $1 million grant from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and a $300,000 grant from the U.S. Department of Justice. In addition, the city was awarded a $650,000 Department of Justice grant for substance abuse and mental health services for Western Regional Jail inmates. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston.
Toyota says it is investing $374 million at five U.S. plants to support production of its first American-made hybrid powertrain. Glennis Board reports.
The Japanese automaker just announced the upgrades for facilities in Alabama, Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee, and West Virginia. Just over $115 million will be invested into West Virginia's Buffalo facility to produce the first American-made transaxles for hybrid cars. Toyota says the 2.5-liter engines made in Kentucky and transaxles produced in West Virginia will be used in North American-made hybrid vehicles, such as the Highlander SUV manufactured in Princeton, Indiana. Toyota will create 50 jobs at its Huntsville, Alabama plant, which will build engines for its global architecture production strategy, a sharing of common parts and components among different vehicles. None of the other upgrades announced this week will result in immediate net job gains. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glennis Board in Wheeling.
Our climate is changing, and that means that some organisms will likely change with it. That's the research focus of climate change biologist Scott Hotaling, who will present at the IDEA Festival in Louisville this week. Hotaling is a postdoctoral researcher at Washington State University who studies organisms like polar fish and stoneflies who live in glacier meltwater. As climate change affects these habitats, Hotaling's research focuses on whether the genomes of these species evolve to adapt to warmer water. He spoke with WFPL's Erica Peterson about his research.
Evolution is like historically thought of as being this big long-term process. But under the right conditions, evolution can happen really quickly. It's very small scale in most cases, but evolution occurs really with every generation of a species, whether it's a human or a stonefly below a glacier. But what we're trying to figure out is if you take the entire genome, so which is the template for everything these stoneflies, the template for everything we do, our genome, our behavior, our eye color, our hair color, everything about us, and you look across it, huge swaths of that genome, most of it, we'll say 99%, is not going to be have anything to do with surviving warmer conditions, but some of it might. And so we're trying to figure out what parts of the genome are involved in surviving kind of warmer conditions or might be associated with that. And then we can actually go through and look for that in different populations surviving in different conditions and see how it's distributed on the landscape. And once we know where it is, this genomic diversity that matters, we'll call it the ecologically relevant genetic diversity in that scenario, then we can start to make predictions based on if a glacier goes away and we can expect the water will warm in this way, then this is how the evolutionary change might occur.
Wow, that's fascinating. So what are you finding? Do you have any results where you are actually finding these evolutionary changes that you believe are linked to the warming?
So we haven't published any of that yet, nor do we have any real targets. We have some ideas. We have some data that we hope are going to help us move in that direction. But the big challenge of it is that it's a very big haystack. So the human genome is 3 billion base pairs. And those base pairs encode for proteins that, you know, transport oxygen in our blood and do all sorts of processes. And finding the thing that is associated with, you know, thermal tolerance in a stonefly that's never been studied that lives in the meltwater of a glacier is a pretty big challenge.
Are you finding any issues as a climate change biologist? Obviously, climate change is something that has been very politicized.
Contentious.
Contentious. While the science may not be contentious, discussing it is occasionally. Is this something you've had to deal with in terms of getting funding or getting approval to keep these lines of inquiry?
I've been lucky that as a graduate student and now a postdoc, I've kind of been shielded from the funding discussion by my principal investigators or people that I work with that are kind of overseeing my research. But as for the public kind of sentiment and the political surroundings of the topic, absolutely. And it's something that I, as a climate change biologist, I wake up every day and embrace. Like, I openly discuss my work in coffee shops and bars and wherever I go, and I invite people to talk about it with me, and I don't want them to feel like they're wrong or feel like it's something they can't understand or I'm smarter than them or something because I have a graduate degree. It's a conversation we all need to have, and it's something that affects us all. It affects you if you live in Miami. It affects you if you live in Kansas. It affects you if you live in Alaska. Like, it affects you if you buy insurance, like with the way climate change affects things like hurricanes. It's not something that just matters to stoneflies living in the meltwater of glaciers. Like, certainly that's an interesting evolutionary question, and it's important to figure that out just from a scientific standpoint and a conservation standpoint. But understanding how climate change is linked to warming waters in the Gulf of Mexico, which contributes to more intense hurricanes, is a equally viable and human relevant, very human relevant topic of discussion.
Climate change biologist Scott Hotelling, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thanks so much, Erica.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Our producer is Kara Lofton. I'm Teresa Wills.